many years ago, being placed in the last foster home that I was with, I became very close with the grandmother of the family, Lillian Corbett. Lillian was a strong woman, strong will, but a very, very godly woman as well. And with all the uncertainties of my life and being bounced around, she became a constant in my life. Somebody that I could look to. And I knew she had had her hardships in this life. But as was already stated this morning, she remained faithful. Some of the saddest news that I've heard in my life was when I was told the grandma had cancer. I remember struggling with a lot of the emotions of the uncertainty of life. What would life bring? How would life change? And I remember after one Saturday night singing at her place, she was only able to bear about half of the singing and then went up in her bed and laid down. And before we left, Steve, my father at the time, took us up there and we gathered around the bed and had prayer with her. And she asked if we'd sing one more song. As the family gathered around, one by one, more trickled into the room. As we began to sing, before too long, the room filled up. And I'll never forget her words. It's okay. I'm ready to go. Heaven holds on. Taught a great deal about the brevity of life and how things can change very quickly in life. And if not careful, the mindset of selfishness, the mindset of pride begins to set in. It's the very idea that we find in the book of Psalm. I want to start there this morning. In Psalm chapter 73, we recently did a study in the book of Psalm and we passed through this Psalm, and I want to do that a little bit this morning. In Psalm chapter 73, we find more than likely a Levite here writing as he's reflecting upon life. And he looks out and he thinks about life and begins to feel sorrowful, not only for the state that he's in, but begins to wonder why others prosper and he is not. Why is it that one person is taken and one not? Why is it that one person suffers, yet others prosper? I tell you, if not careful, that's what consumes us. That's what takes over our mind. And we forget, as the psalm ends here, what the importance is. And so I want to do that this morning. I remember not long ago being told we couldn't have children and looking at ones that had children and selfishly inside saying, why not us? I look at others that get to sit with their grandparents in services. I say, why not me? I look at others, as Chris and others have said this morning, as well as Canaan, and implied. I sit with families. I sit with my own family in the pews, generation after generation. And I say, why not me? I don't know why life unfolds like it does for some, and why others seem to go through this life not challenged with the hardships that this life can often throw at us. But I do know my Redeemer. I want us to look at Psalm 73 this morning. It begins by saying, truly, God is good to Israel, to such as is pure in heart. Hopefully this morning, as we contemplate life and think about our own lives and the struggles that we go through and the uncertainties that are still ahead in our lives, hopefully all of us can confidently say this morning that truly God is good to us. I hope that's a premise that all of us believe this morning. I hope it's something that not just that we believe, but that we understand. I don't know what the future holds, but as I've stated so many times before, I do know who holds the future, and that is God. And as verse 1 reveals to us, those that are pure in heart, we're okay with that. And we can handle the uncertainties of life. The Levite here records for us in verses 2 through 12, he gets very distracted. He begins to look around, and in verse 3 it says, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And there's this great comparison between who he thinks he is and where he is. And as he looks around, he sees the prosperity, all the increase in those that are wicked. Talks about them and says that they are filled with pride. Walk around with no acknowledgement of who God is. And in verse 8 it says, they scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lofty. The idea is they speak proudly. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongues walk through the earth. Kind of sums up this generation that we live in today. Can't hardly say you're a Christian anymore, that you believe in God without facing persecution. It says in verse 10, therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase their riches. So the Levite, as he records, he reflects upon the life that he sees around him. Others have abundance, and he does not. He goes on to say in verses 13 through 15, as he begins to look within himself, I think that's the danger in life. As we face trials and we face hardships, we look outwardly, we see other people who have what we do not have, and it consumes us. We become negative. Kind of like, I didn't really want to be around children when we were told we couldn't have kids. The mothers that were pregnant, I didn't want to see them. I didn't want to look at them. You see, I'd taken my eyes off my Lord, the one who understands me and knows what I need when I need it. And the psalmist does the same thing here. In verse 13 it says, "Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain." He was trying hard, trying real hard, as many of us do, "and washed my hands in innocent. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning." He had his doubts. We, as we wake up, don't we have our struggles, our questions that we face in life? Someone once said, "Go to sleep and the problem will seem so much better the next day." It's not usually happened to me. What usually ends up happening, I wake up that day and I think about all the struggles that I'm going to have to go through in that day. I worry myself with problems that haven't even yet unfolded. He says in verse 15, "If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children." You see, one of the things that this writer was very conscientious about, as he looked around and he saw the prosperity and he saw what was going on around him, he kept this to himself. He didn't vocalize it. I think we have to understand and appreciate that. When we face our trials in this life, may we do so as we struggle with the questions of life, that we struggle in our mind and we don't teach others the wrong concept of who God is and what God does. That's what he says in verse 15. "If I had said, if I had spoke my doubts in the prior verse, if I had spoken all of these things that he was struggling with," he said, "behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children." They would have been led down the wrong path. And so it is. After the writer here looks within himself, he looks up. I challenge each and every one of us as we face our hardships in this life to look up. It's one of the most important things that we can do as we face the trials in this life. We need to look up. Let's begin in verse 16. Let me read a few verses with you. "When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes," speaking of the godless, "so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand." It's the idea of a strong grip, a grip that would not let go. "You will guide me with your counsel and afterwards receive me to glory." It's that message that I want to leave with all of you this morning. May we, as we get distracted with the things of this life, come full circle. That we remember to keep our eyes on Him. Keep our minds on Him. Our hearts set to do His will. And I'll tell you, if we do that, even though life will be turbulent, He has a strong hold of us. Heather never really liked when I would grab the children when they were small and throw them into the air and and catch them again. I've got several pitchers I've thrown, especially the girls, pretty high. Why would she be concerned at that? I'm there to catch them. I will catch them. But for a moment, I don't have a grip of them. They're floating through the air, hopefully coming down in the right place so I can secure them again. You see, if not careful, that's how we think our life is. We float around. We're bounced here or there. Death and other different things we face in this life. Betrayal, as we talked about in the Lord's Supper. All of these things, we feel like we're the child in the air, floating, unsecured. But see, as a child of God, if we are faithful to Him, as we go through life, as this psalm records for us, He holds us by our right hand, safe and secure. I want us to turn over to the book of James as we close this lesson out this morning. One might say, I thought we were going to talk about elders this morning, so did I. In the book of James, in chapter 4, it says this. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. James chapter 4 and verse 12. There is one lawyer who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge one another? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. He goes on to say in verse 17, the reality of life. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live to do this or that. But now your boasting is an arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. If there's anything that I have taken from the last few days, from life and from the news that has been passed around, is that life is brief at best. And family is something to hold dear. I think back on life and people that I should have spent more time with. Things I should have done and didn't do. You see, that's the idea that James is trying to paint for us. Life is short. It ends sometimes very abruptly. Live your life with a clean conscience. If you know to do something that is good, do it. Because tomorrow might never come. I put before you this morning that if you're not right with God, there's not a more convenient time to make your life right with Him than now. If you're not a child of God, what possibly can be holding you back from that firm hold that God wants to have on you? What's holding you back from making that confession? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Your willingness to turn from this life and to be baptized, to have your sins washed away. What in the world can possibly be holding you back? I pray this morning that if it keeps you from responding to the call this morning, that you'll give me an opportunity to study with you about making your life right with Him. If you're here and you're Christian, and you're coping with the struggles of life, I want to remind you, as you well know, that God sees, God cares, and He wants you to succeed through your trials, not fail. And so if you've not been doing as you should as a child of God, why not go to Him and ask for forgiveness? He'll forgive you this morning. That's His faithful promise to His children. He'll forgive you. Let's all face life with certainty, not with uncertainty. Let's all face knowing who our Redeemer is. And just as important as that, let's make sure that our relationship is secure with Him. If there's anything that anybody needs to do to make their life right with God, won't you come to the front or raise your hand while we stand and while we sing?